Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to So You Want to Be in Ministry. I'm Tim, and we are all about honoring faithfulness in ministry, and I'm excited about the guests that we have today. I get to interview three very special women on our staff at my church, and whether you knew it or not, this last week, we had Administrative Assistant Day, National Administrative Assistant Day. You might have known that, you might not have, but it's every April. I believe it's the fourth Wednesday of every April. I tried to confirm that, and it just seems like it's year to year, but it's always on a Wednesday in April. And I wanted to do just something special for them because they're so incredible to our staff. They are great supporters of our staff. They are a great support system to our staff. They very much are the backbone, I guess, of like they set us up for wins. And a lot of things that they do are behind the scenes, and they're not really always just seen right in front of you. And so I want to do something special for them for Administrative Professionals Day and Administrative Assistants Day, and give them this gift of letting them share some of the things that they do, because we want to equip you. For some pastors and ministry people out there, I want you to understand how important this role is, because sometimes it can be easy to forget about them. I wanted to give them this gift, though, of sharing their stories with a lot of you. So let's get into this interview. Well, hey, ladies. So glad to have you on the podcast today.
Morning.
Yeah.
Good morning.
So for all of you out there listening and or watching, we have right above me, so on my screen, right above me is Sharon. She's our executive assistant. She is amazing. She takes care of a lot of people. Our whole staff, like, right, guys?
Like, yes.
Yeah. That's not necessarily your job, but she does take care of the whole staff. So, and then we have Janet, our newest addition. Are you still the newest addition to our staff? Or have we hired somebody since then?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Newest addition, and she's our Edwardsville office manager. And then right beside me is my office manager. We've been together, have you been on 6 years?
Five and a half.
Five and almost. A half, okay. Yeah, so she is my guardian on my campus. And so glad to have Colleen on as well. Let's jump into this. So if you were a church looking for an office manager, or even as an office manager, if you could give some advice on some qualities that churches should be looking for, what are some qualities that you would say? How about you? Let's start with you, Colleen.
I would say definitely the person needs to be able to wear many hats, sometimes all in the same hour. You need to be organized. You need to be able to jump from task to task pretty easy. And I think you have to have a heart too for just for ministry in general, and you have to have a heart for people, because as the kind of front line in the office, people are going to come to you with problems, celebrations, complaints, and you have to be able to handle all of those things.
Yeah. What about you, Janet?
Yeah, I agree with Colleen. Kind of being a mom has helped, honestly. I was a teacher also. And yeah, just the organizational skills, but having a heart for the ministry and just being able to relate to people and in general, and enjoying the energy around you is also a good trait to have.
I love that. Enjoying the energy around you. I love that. What about you, Sharon?
These ladies have already defined a servant heart.
Yeah.
And I think having a servant heart and a heart to work alongside everyone, not for them, but alongside them in celebration, in sorrow,
yeah,
just all aspects.
You know, I think we should have probably started somewhere, because I want people to know who you ladies are a little bit, at least how you even landed an office manager position, because that can be a unique position within a church, right? You're not necessarily leading a ministry. You're not a pastor. You're supporting the entire thing, though, and so it can be unique, I think, how you land in there. Colleen, could you share a little bit of just the quick highlights of maybe how you landed into a position like office manager at Vandalia?
Yeah, so I started kind of in a hybrid position, leading the kids ministry and then also leading office duties and things like that. And then as things progressed, I had an opportunity to spend more time on the office side of things. And I think administration is kind of more my gifting. I love the kids, and that was a fun time. And now I get to volunteer in that ministry, but just really kind of being able to be behind the scenes a little bit more was something that was more of a really good fit for me. Okay. And I feel like this is exactly where I was supposed to be.
Awesome. What about you, Janet? How'd you land an office manager?
Well, so my background is teaching early childhood and elementary students and then real estate. And when we moved here from Texas a year ago, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I literally started praying about finding a position in some sort of ministry. I kind of thought it was going to be at the Pregnancy Crisis Center. Okay. Because that's where I had volunteered. So I kept my eye open on the Pregnancy Crisis Center and didn't really see anything that would fit. So I started praying more specifically that I would find a position in a church. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to ask God to open up a position at Metro because I love it so much. And literally the next day I got on Facebook and there was a post from Metro saying, we're hiring. And I opened it up and I said to my husband, I'm going to apply because I really feel like this is the fit for me. And I felt that way in my spirit from the moment I applied. And then I met Sharon and went through the interview process. And I know that God led me here without a doubt.
Yeah. I just speaking from the other side, God worked quick with that prayer. speaking from the other side of that, I would agree that it really does feel like a fit made by God. It's been really cool to see you plug in here. Sharon, how'd you land in the executive assistant position?
The position was, my husband and I had just moved back to the area. We lived here years ago, and Metro was our church. And I was volunteering, and I was on the executive team at the time. And the lead pastor, they were creating this position. And I had stopped working at that point. I had worked for years and was not planning on going back to work. And he presented the opportunity to me and said, what do you think? And at that time, I felt like there was more I could do, that I was still useful. Mm-hmm. My husband travels quite a bit. So I prayed about it and told him, yes, I would be interested. And I landed in this position that they had created, where at the time the children's minister was doing both positions. The church was in a transition of growth, and with the job being created, it took responsibilities off of their shoulders and onto mine.
Awesome. Yeah, I've loved hearing. I knew those stories obviously, but I think they're each unique, right? They're each unique stories on how we all got here. And I think it's an attribute to follow God's path, follow God's plan, mm-hmm. because you don't know where it could land. It could land you in some spots you weren't even looking for. It's really cool to see that. All right. This might be more for Colleen and Janet, but how can an office manager be critical to the assimilation of the church? So when we're talking about assimilation, we're talking about somebody that maybe heard about Metro, attended the first time, and now it's like, how do we go to time two, the second visit, and all the way through becoming a member, serving, and maybe even one day becoming one of the pastors or on staff? Like, how are you part of that process? Colleen, go ahead.
Yeah, so like I said before, we're working behind the scenes, and every Monday morning we get connection cards that people have filled out that our volunteer teams have collected for us. And so from then on, we are tasked with following our systems that we've created to make sure those people that are first-time guests, that they are contacted, and all of their information is put into our database so that we can follow up with them in a timely manner, so that they can feel welcome here, so that they have a person to talk to in case they have any questions about our church or any specific ministry. And really our job in that capacity is to make sure that nobody falls through the cracks.
Mm-hmm. You have anything to add there, Janet?
I don't think so. I think one thing I might add is just we get those connection cards, like Colleen said, and sometimes it doesn't have a mailing address because we mail out welcome cards, first-time guest cards. And so kind of what our job is to make sure that gets into the computer and go through the steps and make sure they get a phone call. So we have a volunteer that follows up and gives them a phone call, and sometimes they don't answer, but at least we know they're followed up with.
Yeah. Along with that, so office manager, executive assistant, that tends to be a Monday to Friday type of position. How do you view yourselves as adding value to the weekend services and the overall ministries of the church? I know what it is. How would you explain it? Sharon, do you have something to add there?
I do. The Monday through Friday and the weekend services really go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And you have to be, because you are in the office Monday through Friday, you are aware, you have an overall picture of what is going on over the weekend. And I think it's our responsibility to be out there and see these, witness these moving parts firsthand. You are also a face for those that call in to the office or those that know, you know, who you are. You are their first point of contact. That's their familiarity on the weekend services to come to you for information. Yeah. So it works hand in hand.
Yeah. Anything to add? Either one of the other two?
Yeah, I would say since our campus is a more rural campus and Edwardsville is more more of a suburban campus, we have fewer people at our campus on a weekend. And a lot of times if I've spoken to somebody during the week or all I have to say if I meet somebody new is, I'll be calling you this week, or I'll be in touch with you, or I'll have somebody get in touch with you. So they know who I am and they know that if I don't have an answer for them, I can direct them to whoever does. Same with these ladies. I think that we are, it's almost a first line of communication, and we can get you hooked up with the people that you need to be hooked up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that point, Colleen, because that is so true. You guys have a connection with every single area of ministry. I view you guys as like the lifelines at times of communication. You are also, for me, front line of defense, where it's like, maybe you misunderstood this, or maybe let me help you, you know, seek another avenue, or you can soften some of the blows before people would get through the door to have a conversation with somebody like me. And sometimes you even can just take care of it right then. Whatever that would be, it could be simple enough. You're like, oh, I can just do that. Like, and you just take care of it. And I didn't have to use time to do something that was very capable of you guys doing it. So I do appreciate that. Janet, did you have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I think I agree with both the ladies. And then, you know, maybe something that people wouldn't think about is, for instance, we have baptisms this weekend. So, you know, 3 at the Vandalia campus and 7 here. And so just getting the baptismal filled, organizing volunteers to make sure we have towels ready and the mats are out and things like that, that I love doing. I love being a part of that. And that's probably something that people don't think about.
Yeah, that's a great point. Good. So that's a major spiritual step in people's life.
Yes.
that you guys make up. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
What is the importance of keeping a database up to date?
Oh, Janet, I agree, Sharon. Janet and I have a lot to say about keeping this up to date. Janet, I'm gonna let you go first because you're our database guru.
Well, I'm the newbie, so you know I've had a lot to learn, and obviously, I'm sure I'll be learning until you know I'm not working at this job anymore. But yes, the database is very important. It's so cool to enter data, and then we have these workflows so that we make sure that from start to finish, things are followed through. So we put somebody's name in there, and it's not just a name. It's a person who may desire to accept Jesus. They may desire to be baptized. They want to get involved with our metro groups. If Colleen and I don't enter that in, they do fall through the cracks, like what she was saying. So yeah, the data entry is critical to what we do.
Yeah, Colleen, anything to add?
Yeah, we also have both on both campuses. We have these amazing volunteer teams.
Yes.
who input a lot of that data, and they're all so willing to give of their time to do that. And I know Janet and I and Sharon as well. We all appreciate that so much, because there's only so many hours in the day, and having our volunteer teams is crucial for us to be able to do the other things that we can do.
Yeah, I appreciate. I mean, how many times, Colleen, this would be more of a Colleen and I conversation, but how many times do I come in and be like, hey, who's all serving on whatever team? Like, yeah. And she's like, hang on. And she'll like have it up to date, you know, she'll print it off for me. Or I'm like, hey, I'm trying to figure out if there's some people out there that maybe I think they're serving and they're just not, or maybe I think they're not serving, but they are. And it helps me keep an accurate example. I'm like, oh, I didn't know they were serving there. Like, that's cool that they stepped into that place. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you from a spiritual leader perspective, it's so helpful for me to be able to have that accurate information to know as I'm shepherding where I'm like, no, they're doing the things. I may not have known about it or what. And as we, God willing, as we keep growing and we have been growing, I need that data to be able to know that people keep taking steps and progressing. So that's cool. What are some practical ways that you alleviate the pastor or pastors from performing tasks that might bog them down?
Wait, you guys get bogged down?
It can happen.
Sharon, you are a superstar in this area.
Yeah, go for it, Sharon.
I tell you, I think probably the leading part to this would be to meet with the pastors on a regular basis. Make sure that you understand their comfort as to what they would like you to step into, so that you are not overstepping. It goes both ways. So neither party is overstepping as to what they are needing or wanting from the relationship. Make yourself available. You know, it goes back to that servant heart. And as you take care of your family, this is your vocational family, and be attentive to their needs and step in where needed. Make sure that, like on the weekend services, on the weekends, position yourself to where you can, like they're in a conversation. If you guys were in a conversation and you look at body language, mm-hmm. and just position yourself so that you could easily hand that person off to me or call me into the conversation, so that I could then take it and run with it. And then you could go on. It's just being attentive, I think.
Yeah. Anything else to add, Janet?
Obviously I don't have as much contact with Seth, but I do try to help.
With Chris, how do you try to alleviate Pastor Chris with details that might bog him down?
Right. I am usually just saying, how can I help?
Okay.
What can I do to help you? You know, Chris and I have a good working relationship, and he makes it very clear what he needs, but there are times when, you know, I'll just say, can I help you with this? And Cody also, and Chris, the other Chris. So yeah, if there's anything I can do to help you out, please let me know.
Yeah.
So
what about you, Colleen? So you get to talk directly about me.
I think the longer you work with somebody, or the longer you work with the executive team, for example, the longer you work with a person, the more likely you are to be able to anticipate their needs and to try and fill those needs before it's even asked of you. So that is just part of that working relationship, because on our campus, Tim, we have you. Most of the time I'm pretty good at anticipating what you might need.
I would agree with that.
And also, you know, we have a pastoral resident on staff in Vandalia, and working closely with him too, I'm able to do some of those things. But it's just a matter of not just a work relationship, but you're also, like Sharon said, it is a family. And the more you get to know each individual person, the more you can help and lend support to different ministries.
Yeah, I love that anticipation. Go ahead, Sharon.
I think that Janet has touched on, you know, who her direct supervisor is, and Colleen and I have touched on that, but it goes across the staff. Mm-hmm. To where the more you get to know one another, as Colleen said, then you can position yourself. You can watch. You can be watchful on the weekends when they are interacting with people. You can read people's body language if you're just attentive to it. And it's just a matter of walking up to, you know, one of the other staff members and just say good morning. Mm-hmm. Just giving them that second of an out to where they could possibly pass something off, or you've given them a hot second to breathe before they're going into the next aspect of that conversation.
Right.
I didn't write this down, so I apologize, because it's going to be off on the fly. But how have you guys seen, as you all work together, how have you guys seen each other be empowering to one another to do each, like, to do your job, where you're just like, oh, and you, like, there's that teamwork aspect. How have you seen that kind of flesh out within the office manager positions?
For sure. I feel really empowered by Sharon, because Sharon does kind of take care of the whole staff. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. But she and I have worked together a while, and it's been a case where we encourage each other. A lot of times, if I'm over in the other campus, I can look at Sharon and know she's not okay. Mm-hmm. Even if her face is saying I'm okay. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we just need to kind of be there for each other as a sounding board, because ministry can be tough. Mm-hmm. And supporting various ministries can be tough, because sometimes you're caught in the middle. So just being there for each other. And now as Janet's on staff, she's a great addition to this team, because we can all feel free to be open with one another and encourage each other. And be there for each other on the days that kind of are a little rougher.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree.
Yeah. There's just times, I don't know if you know this, Sharon, but there's times where I know the task is going to be a little bit outside of Colleen's comfort zone. That might be fair. I don't know. But I'll just be like, I need you to share in this thing. Like, I just need you to share in this thing for me. She'll be like, all right. I was like, find your inner Sharon. Mm-hmm. And she does it. So
can I say something?
Yeah, go for it.
I got, first of all, Colleen sat here and patiently trained me when I first started. So that was awesome. And Colleen, you've always been there, even if we are playing phone tag. The other day, I got the greatest compliment. Somebody called me Sharon Jr. Okay, that's, you just made my day.
That's definitely a great compliment.
Yes.
We are so lucky to where even amongst the three of us that we can finish one another's sentence. And it's there are times when it is like one brain going in three different directions. Mm-hmm. At times. And that is a gift that I do not take lightly. Janet has been a gift, and I said this many times and to her, she was the gift that I don't think we realized we really needed as much as we did. And that is a God thing. I will give all of the responsibility in that direction, because it is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Don't make me cry.
That was the attempt there a little bit, I guess, but yeah. So what are some of the biggest challenges in managing the day-to-day operations on the campus or within your responsibilities? Colleen, let's start with you.
I think it is, in our rural setting, we do have, you know, we have a lot of people with, and I'm sure this is the case in any campus, we have a lot of ideas coming from a lot of different directions, whether it's on staff or it's our attenders or and keeping everything straight and keeping everything communicated can sometimes be a challenge because even though, you know, if somebody's talking to me directly, they feel I want to make them feel like they're the only thing on my plate that day. Because I want to give them that attention, but they're not the only thing on my plate that day. So being able to make somebody feel like they are the only thing in my day is sometimes challenging because I know in my head I've got, you know, 700 other tasks that I need to do. So sometimes that can be a challenge and sometimes I'm great at it and sometimes I need to apologize. So
what about you, Janet? Biggest challenge?
Yeah, I think honestly, my biggest challenge is I feel very deeply. And so some of the phone calls that I get, I mentioned to our outreach director the other day, it's a good thing I am not in your position because I would give away all the church's money and that would not be a good thing. So that's probably the biggest challenge. I have taken phone calls where I've cried after I hung up. You know, so just, but at the same time, you can take that challenge and, you know, put their name on a sticky note and put it on your computer monitor and pray for them. So in that it's a challenge, if we were in the secular industry, I don't know that I would feel comfortable doing that. But here it's just like, turn up my Christian music and put that note on for prayer and God gets us through it.
Biggest challenge, Sharon?
They have spoken into the heart of it. The tangible aspect is to get everybody on board that we are a team. Mm-hmm. Every ministry, we are collectively, every ministry is collectively a team. Mm-hmm. And utilize the tools that we have in place so that it can run smoothly. Whether that be the calendars, whether that be the tools, the spaces, the replenishing of supplies once you're done. That's the tangibleness of working together.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to like systems. So this is going to, any of these things could practically help another church when they're just thinking like, well, a lot of the people that are going to be listening to this could be, one pastor churches, one staff, you know, one person on staff, and it's the pastor. And he may be thinking, I need somebody, even if it's part-time, to do something, and I'm trying to figure out what they would do. What are some of the systems or processes that you all use day-to-day or week-to-week to kind of benefit the church?
We rely heavily on our database, like we were talking about before, and the plan that we have, it seamlessly integrates, our database integrates with the plans that our worship team makes and our kids ministry, the teams that they make for their volunteers. It seamlessly works with registrations for events and the calendar that Sharon was talking about to make sure that our spaces are coordinated. And our metro groups, it's all one thing that those products talk to each other. So when we were talking before about having the data right, the reason it needs to be right is because that database talks to all of those other products. And if it's wrong in one area, it's wrong in every area. And then that does not set up each individual ministry for a win. So that's why I think Janet and Sharon and I are so passionate about getting that data in the right areas so that we can have that information ready for every single ministry as they would need it. And those systems of getting everything together and correct are what I think are the most vital.
What? Go ahead and tell people what we use just so that they have a landing point for that.
Yeah, sure. We use Planning Center Online. And like I said, it's got a lot of different products that all talk to each other and help you to plan out anything that you would need for any ministry in your church, really.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Janet, what about you? And what are some processes or systems that we use to kind of keep things moving along?
Yeah, I think the Planning Center for sure is something that it is so organized and so efficient. And honestly, I'm still learning. You know, there are, and the girls are very patient with me because there are still things that I haven't thought about, you know, as I onboarded new metro groups to our system, just not thinking about the calendar and making sure that, you know, everything was set up just right. Because if it's not, there's going to be a glitch. So planning center is very, very important. And then, you know, just using the email conversations back and forth. And we also, with childcare, because we provide childcare for the metro groups, we have a system called On the Clock. And so I keep track of childcare hours and submit that to our payroll administrator. So that's another system that I use frequently. Yeah. And that just keeps those hours organized.
Yeah. What about you, Sharon? Do you have any systems or processes that we might not have talked about yet?
Good old-fashioned communication, verbal communication.
What's that?
Right? We're so technology-driven.
Yes.
And I rely on that as well. But there are times when just good old-fashioned verbal communication works wonderful.
Yep, absolutely.
Can I speak to workflows real quick, Tim?
Yeah, go for it.
Janet had mentioned workflows before, and that's a tool that you can use inside of Planning Center People, where we set up steps for whatever task needs to be completed. For instance, if somebody is interested in baptism, we will put that person into a baptism workflow, and every step along the way, all the way until they are baptized, every step is accounted for, and it we can set it up to where it triggers the next person who has to do the next thing. And so a notification will pop up in that person's email. So thinking through those steps when we create a workflow or we edit a workflow, that ensures that nobody is going to be missed. Like that maybe they'll have the conversation and never get talked to again. We don't want that to happen. So we put them in that workflow so that everything's accounted for.
Yeah, I love that too, because it takes some effort on the front end, right? You have to think about the system that you want to use and who they need to talk to and what are the steps. But once you have it, you walk every person that wants to do that through that system. And if you've tied that staff member or whoever the person may be to it, they get the notification. They immediately know, okay, it's on me to go do this now. Like there didn't have to be a tons of meetings and conversations about it. They just know, I got it. I'm supposed to go do this next. Mm-hmm. And then they, when they complete it, they hit their complete button and it goes to the next person, and it mm-hmm. makes it so simple. And if you fail to do it in the proper amount of time, you get a notification that you were late. And so that's
and
all.
You might get an email from your office manager that says, why are you late?
Yeah. Those things can happen too. Yes. So I'm really good about some of the workflows, and then other ones I'm not so good at. And so, yeah, I have to be kept up on some of that. But it's helpful to me because, I mean, we kind of joked about pastors getting bogged down too. But when I am having a crazy busy week, it's helpful to have that email trigger up and kind of go, hey, you forgot about this. It's like, oh, yeah, I got to do that. Because you can just get in the weeds on what, like the things that are pressing right in front of you, and you can forget about those other things. So it's a helpful tool for sure. How do you facilitate engagement and communication between younger and older generations on staff? And so I say this because people aren't going to know our staff like we do. Half of our staff is Gen Z, or almost half of our staff is Gen Z. We have a lot of Gen Z staff. So sure, we have boomers, we have millennials, we have Gen Xers, but we also have Gen Z. So we have four generations on our staff. How do you guys help try to facilitate that in communication and engagement? Whoever would like to go first.
I think Sharon has something to say.
Okay. Go for it, Sharon.
Yeah. Flexibility in your communication styles there. It's definitely even not necessarily generational, but the immaturity or the maturity of technology and how they use it.
Okay.
You know, whether it's, you know, the beginning or flexibility.
Anyone? All right. Anything from Janet or Colleen?
I would say no matter which generation that you're dealing with, just again, learning the person's personality and their work style, that helps you to maybe alter the way you communicate with that person so that you can get the most effective results out of whatever you need. It's just being like, basically being flexible, like Sharon said.
Yeah. Anything to add, Janet?
I mean, I have kids that are 28 and 24, so I love having the young people around me. And then, you know, my parents are still living, so I feel like it's a good mix of generations that we work with. And I don't think it's been difficult. Every once in a while, the younger ones might not communicate as effectively, but I think of my kids, and that's probably pretty normal.
Yeah, and I think it's more of learning how to become a professional in the workplace more than I think it's generation. Right. I think it's just a normal progression.
Yes.
The other thing that I think is helpful that I've seen that it's probably not office manager specific. It might be, in fact, it might be like more lead pastor specific, but we know what our common goal is week to week on our staff. And so I think the benefit that has happened is we know that we're trying to work through this transcendent framework. We're trying to create moments of God for people. And as we're trying to move forward as a staff with very specific staff values, I think it makes us all on the same page where we may have different windows we're looking through on a generational level, but we all know where we're trying to get together.
Yes.
And it has this really cool unifying thing. I don't know what else to say, but this unifier together with it that makes it really easy.
I think that too, that having two campuses, I think it would be very easy. And at times in the past, it has been like this, to seem like two different churches.
Yeah.
And I think that our staff is such that, and our culture is such that we feel like one unified organization. When I go to Edwardsville, I feel just as welcome, and I feel just as much as a part of staff as I do in the Vandalia building. And I think that speaks a lot to the culture of our staff.
Yes. I would agree with that. That is a great point, because when you just talk about the rural and suburban dynamics, it could easily get off track. Mm-hmm. And we work really hard. I think even going out to the congregation, like I think congregationally we are on the same page where we can communicate with one another, where I know out in Vandalia, our people feel very comfortable attending a service in Edwardsville. And we've had some Edwardsville people come out and jump in with different things that we've been doing throughout the last 6 months, 7 months with the new building. And you can tell that they're having a blast out with us. So, yeah, I think that's a great point as well. It just doesn't affect it. Yeah. Let's see here. How do you balance administrative responsibilities while still maintaining a heart for ministry? I'm going to go with you first, Sharon, to kick us off. You've been doing this longer than the other two. So let's see how you do this.
One task at a time.
Okay.
You know, not losing sight of your why. That transcends over no matter what you're doing. If you are filling the copier with paper versus stepping into a heartfelt conversation with someone. Yeah. One step at a time and remembering the why.
Okay. Janet?
I think for me, it's such a privilege to be able to work in this kind of an environment. And so for me, there's nothing that I do that I don't feel is helping people increase the kingdom, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I can joyfully do my work, and you can do that in any job, anywhere, but I just feel like it's such a privilege to be here surrounded by other believers who are, their goal is, you know, the prize is heaven. Mm-hmm. And bringing as many people with us as we can. And so, like Sharon said, filling the copier with paper is still helping. You know, it seems mundane, but it's still helping. So
I agree with both of you. I think that it is not lost on me. I mean, we've all had jobs that were not in ministry.
Yes.
It's not lost on me that we begin every meeting in prayer. It's not lost on me that I get to work alongside my pastor. Like, if I've got pastor things that I need to talk about, I could say, okay, I need you not as my supervisor, not as my friend, but as my pastor, and it's right there. It's not lost on me, Janet, like you said, we are you know, a staff of believers that are wanting to fill heaven with as many people as we can. So just being able to recognize that. And I think you said it best, Sharon, mm-hmm. not forgetting the why. Mm-hmm. That makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. How do you, let's take it a step further with this. And how do you maintain spiritual growth, like within yourself? Because sometimes it can happen as well. This has been true for me at different intervals of my ministry, that I could just be like, well, I'm doing church spiritual things all the time, and so I can forget that I still need to be pursuing personal spiritual growth. How do you try to work to maintain that even in your personal walk as you work within the confines and constructs of a church? Colleen?
For me, it is faithful attendance to my Metro group. I have an amazing, I mean, I'm sure all of us do have an amazing small group that we're a part of, but the ladies that I'm doing life with are across the spectrum of different seasons of life. And for me, they're such an encouragement for me to not forget why we're here, period. We grow alongside each other. We laugh, we cry, we share victories and defeats. And that small group is what really ties it together for me.
What about you, Janet?
I think just my personal time daily in the Word and with Jesus. And you know, honestly, I have to make sure that I get up a little early and have that time, because for a while I wasn't working outside the home, and I had the luxury of, you know, grabbing my cup of coffee and spending as much time with Jesus as I wanted. So it's an intentional time for me. And then the small group, our small group is full of people that have been at Metro for a long, long time. And so it's been very good for my husband and I to be with other couples that have seen the growth and the changes and the positivity. And then of course, coming to church and worship. It's awesome.
Awesome. What about you, Sharon?
I can concur with what these women have saying. It's mandatory that and crucial that you maintain that personal relationship in prayer, in the Word, in your quiet time. You can't present an authentic person. You can't be authentic with others, especially in the church, which is what they're looking for and will see right through very quickly if it's not. And I don't know how you maintain authenticity without that.
Yeah. Oh man, that's a great point. Yeah, you have to stay current. Yes.
It's built-in accountability. Yeah. You know, so that's what makes it kind of easy in a way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I agree with that. We'll end with this question, but can you share a story of a time when the administrative work that you do had a direct and meaningful impact on someone's faith journey? I'm sure it's more than one, but if you have one that just sticks out. Colleen, let's start with you.
Yeah, for sure. As I mentioned before, we have those first time calls that we make or contacts that we have with guests. And I had somebody that took our first step class, which is getting to know the church, and it goes through the gospel and just kind of what Metro believes and why we do things the way we do. And I had a follow-up conversation with this individual, and she was in the beginning of the conversation not really sure where she was, and by the end of that, just being part of the system of having that follow-up conversation, I was blessed and honored to be able to help lead her to Christ. And in that moment, that is something the two of us will never forget, and it just ignited her. And to see her growth has been such an inspiration to me, and being able to be a small part of that is something that, even though it's maybe behind the scenes a little bit, it's still, it never gets old, and I hope I never get over it. It's the coolest thing.
Yeah, never gets old. Sounds like a good song. I don't know.
I should call somebody and maybe write some lyrics. I don't know.
Janet, what about you?
You know, I'm pretty new here, so I don't have a lot of experiences, but I did have a phone call from someone who, she was down on her luck, and her and her husband both had lost their jobs. She was dealing with some serious health issues. And they literally didn't have food. They'd been to the food pantry and had exceeded their limit and, you know, was just calling for outreach. And she and I just connected on the phone, was able to give her a gas card through our outreach ministry. So she came by the office and just kind of followed up with her. Her two adult daughters are living with her and they were looking for jobs and just a connection. And she had come in at a later point in time and she just said, you know, I feel like we're sisters in Christ. And she has epilepsy, so she can't go to church right now until they get her stable, but she's watching online. Awesome. And so it was a little bit, but it was just, you know, I felt like that connection was pretty awesome.
Cool. Sharon, what about you?
Through the years and the teams of volunteers that have worked here in the office, to be able to be a part of their connection when they just needed a connection, when they just needed to be loved on, mm-hmm. when they needed to have a purpose. It's the little things, just sitting, just listening. And that has at times can catapult, if you will, their walk. And it just, there's an individual that comes in that Janet knows very well in her short tenure already, that this coming in here and doing the little bit that they, what they consider the little bit that they do, has been life-giving to him in his walk. Yeah. And it's just, it's so much fun. I love being behind the scenes and getting to see all of this happen, and then you see these individuals on the weekends, you know, and how it has just, that little bit just gave them the reason to take that next step or to extend themselves to someone else on the weekends, and it just dominoes.
Yeah, that is great stories. We get to see a lot of the behind the scenes things that others don't, you know, they may see it over a period of a year or something. We're like, wow. And, but we're seeing the incremental growth behind the scenes where we're like, just give them a little bit more time. I think they're right there. Cause we get to see that ins and outs and day by day. Cool. Well, thank you so much. Women, I appreciate you so much for giving up your time and sharing a little bit of what you do to encourage other churches and staffs around the globe.
Thanks so much for having us on, Tim. It's been, we never get to talk just the four of us, so it's been pretty awesome.
It is. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
So as you can see, three phenomenal women, great hearts, do so much for our staff. I hope that it was a blessing for you to hear them just as much as it is a blessing for us to just work alongside of them and minister with them and serve our church together. I hope that you have administrative assistants, secretaries, whatever you may call them. I hope that you have phenomenal ones as well. And I hope they're supporting you in your roles as much as these women do. And you want to find some people with hearts like the ones we have, because they absolutely set us up for wins week after week. So make sure you're looking for individuals like that. And then honor them well. Pay attention to them. Get, you know, take care of them as much as they're taking care of you, and probably more so because they're doing so much for you, probably more than you even realize. And so pay attention to that as well. Do your best to honor them. Thank you so much for checking out this podcast and this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like and subscribe, I'd appreciate it. And I'll see you next time.